Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Small Caps Podcast. I'm Peter Capsanis. For many of us, our mortality has been questioned since the pandemic emerged around the world. COVID-19 has proven no country is immune from this deadly virus. What happens next is still to unfold. But despite all this, the goal of developing cancer-killing drugs continues, and one ASX-listed biomedical company is on the hunt to bring more hope and faith for the next generation of Australians. Prescient Therapeutics Limited, with its ASX code PTX, has prided itself on breakthrough medicines for the treatment of cancer. In the last few days, it has teamed up with Melbourne-based institute, the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre. What does that mean for us in 2020 and beyond? We're about to find out. Joining me on the line is CEO Stephen Yatomi-Clark. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter.
Stephen, to begin with, can you give us a recap of PTX and what its mission is, please?
Sure thing. We are focused on cancer. We develop novel cancer drugs. We are not interested in copycat drugs. We are looking very much at personalized medicine. Peter, no two people are the same and nor are their cancers. And we have a number of personalized approaches of treating the underlying causes of these tumors and having better success as a result of that, this personalized approach.
All right. I'm assuming you've been holding some clinical trials in more recent times.
That's right. And just zooming out a little bit, I guess we have two different approaches broadly. One is targeted therapies, and these are medicines that you inject and they switch off aberrant proteins that cause cancer. So if you like, it finds the mutations in the cancer and switches those off, the drivers of the cancer, the things that make it divide in an uncontrolled manner. And they're in clinical trials, and we've just announced in the last few months that we've entered this amazing new field of cell therapy, which is exactly as the name sounds. It is using living cells as a medicine. And the cutting edge of that is something called CAR T, and we're absolutely on the cutting edge of that. And that is not yet in the clinic, but it is a super exciting frontier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're the two approaches.
So what is CAR T? I know you've just touched on it, but everyone in oncology is really excited about it, aren't they?
It is, and I think it's for a good reason. It's because for the very first time, thanks to this brand new approach, we're seeing responses that we've not seen in cancer before that are akin to cures. We've not really dared to even mention the word cure when we talk about cancer, but with CAR T, some are calling it the beginning of the end, which is incredibly exciting just to contemplate. So what it is, it basically weaponizes your own T cells and turns them against the cancer. I mean, the immune system is a fascinating beast. And if you think in terms of a transplant patient, when things go very wrong, a patient's immune system can reject an entire organ in a matter of days. So I guess T cells in particular have this unparalleled ability to kill foreign invaders. And some of that can, you know, it could be cancer or it could be, you know, virus infected cells or whatever it might be. The problem is with cancer, unfortunately, it's mutated at surface just enough to avoid the surveillance of the immune system. So that the T cells that are the frontline soldiers of the immune system don't recognize the cancer anymore. So it grows basically without the police of the body recognizing it. And what we do with CAR T is using these patients' own immune cells, you just basically change the little receptor on it, which changes like the nose of the T cell so it can sniff out and kill that cancer again. And once you retrain that T cell, okay, here's what you need to sniff out and kill, whoosh, it just, you know, you put that same T cell back into the patient, you grow them up, millions of them, and you put it back into the patient, and we are seeing unparalleled cancer-killing, capabilities with this type of therapy that has caused durable remissions in patients who had failed everything else. Some of them alive years and years and years later with no evidence of cancer. So it's a remarkably exciting new frontier of cancer that we're in.
And is this Australian biotechnology, if I can call it that?
The approach was pioneered in the US by the University of Pennsylvania. And so they pioneered it, the very first drug that hit the market. So this is actually, it's not science fiction, it's treating real patients today. Novartis as a global pharma company were the first to license one, and that was from UPenn. And that was approved for a couple of blood cancers. And what we're looking at now is the next generation of that. Australia is really towards the forefront of CAR-T innovation, thanks to institutes like the Peter Mac. But the home of CAR-T is really University of Pennsylvania. And in what's been an amazing coup for Australian biotech, Prescient has managed to secure a next generation CAR-T platform from that very institute, from UPenn, to create next generation versions of this amazing therapy.
Right. So you're applying or reapplying the model from University of Pennsylvania and I guess rolling it out for your intents and purposes here in Australia?
I think so, yeah. Well, for the world, pretty much. But we're Australian-based and flying the flag. But we don't see ourselves as just an Australian company. This is, we've got a platform to a technology that is applicable to any CAR-T company on the planet, really. So we believe we've got the next generation platform. You might recall, like, VHS tapes changed the way we look at movies, right? It was groundbreaking at the time. You don't have to go in your car and buy movie tickets and go to a cinema. You could borrow them and, five, six people can watch them in your house. It changed everything. But how many listeners would have a video player in their house right now? So this is where we find ourselves. As amazing as CAR-T is and as groundbreaking as it is, that's generation one. This is as bad as the technology will get, which is fantastic for patients. And what we're about, we're bringing Netflix to the table with respect to CAR-T. We are looking to overcome a lot of the challenges that current generation CAR-T is facing. And by doing that, we're not only going to be generating next-gen CAR-T for ourselves, but we're able to be the Intel chip inside everyone else's computer. We can make next-generation versions of anyone's CAR-T program, and that's what's super exciting.
Some great analogies there, Stephen. Netflix and VHS, VHS, a word I haven't heard for a long time. In light of where the world is at the moment, and I referenced it in my intro in relation to COVID-19, how has COVID played a role in either expediting or slowing down the development or the innovation of CAR-T here with PDX?
I think it would be disingenuous of us to say that we've been unaffected. That's not true. I don't think anyone's unaffected. But pleasingly, I don't think we've seen any material disruptions. I mean, if there's one thing worse than coronavirus, it's cancer, right? And this does not in any way diminish the seriousness of the pandemic. But hundreds of thousands of people killed by this awful pandemic so far. But just as a bit of reflection, every single year, 10 million people die of cancer. Every year. Every single year, 10 million. So I think as disruptive as it's been, cancer patients who aren't faced with any other option are still motivated to leave their house and to go to a clinic to undertake a clinical trial if that's the only hope that they've got. So I think we're faring a lot better than many others. We've seen some areas slow down in terms of certain labs closed and whatnot, but starting to see that open back up again. But all in all, it hasn't been terribly disruptive.
In terms of the future for CAR-T, what is Prescient Therapeutics Limited's vision for CAR-T? I know you touched on it, but I mean, what's the long game? What's the long game here?
The long game, this amazing therapy that has, had so many unprecedented responses is not reaching enough patients. And that's what we're about. We, through our platform, believe we can reach many more patients in many more cancers. And it's because of this, I think, you know, again, the challenges of a first generation of a technology. CAR-T has safety issues. CAR-T is not flexible or adaptable, and you can't control it. It's a living medicine that as soon as you inject it into a patient, the doctor has no control over this. And that has some serious safety issues that mean that it is only reserved for the sickest of the sick. What we're able to do with OmniCAR, we believe, is for the very first time make this controllable. So patients, you know, doctors will have full control, like a remote control over these cells once they're inside the body. They can change the activity to tune it up or down. And they can even switch direction of the T cell. So even if the tumor mutates, you can send it in one direction or another, even once these cells are already inside the body. So it's an incredibly powerful tool. We can see already just in overcoming two limitations there, how this is really a next generation platform. By doing that, we're going to get it to more patients. We're going to get it to different cancers, not just blood cancers. And we believe by making it safer that we can bring it to patients who aren't on death's door and can receive benefit from this much earlier on.
You mentioned OmniCAR. That's in relation to licensing from the University of Pennsylvania. So can you just elaborate on that for me?
Sure thing. So UPenn being the home of CAR-T, the pioneers of CAR-T, who created the very first one ever approved, I think they recognised some of the shortcomings of this first generation of CAR-T, and that's why they had a multidisciplinary effort between their cell biologists and their protein engineers, and they came together to design this really flexible modular platform, and that's what we have licensed. It incorporates some technology that we've also separately licensed, a little binding system from Oxford University. So two pretty amazing names there, and a little prescient, proudly got both of them. And this is to create a next generation of CAR-T therapies. And again, not just for us, but is applicable to improving any other third party CAR-T program.
Excellent. And in addition to that, the inclusion or teaming up with the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre in Melbourne, that was only last week. What does that mean now for your company and going forward?
Yeah, we've got a number of initiatives, even beyond OmniCAR and CAR-T, and that's what that cell therapy enhancement program is what we announced on Friday. Look, I think that's the thin edge of the wedge for us and Peter Mac. You know, we're really using their incredible facilities and expertise and leveraging that. So what they really like what we've got, and they are bending over backwards to work with us and use some of our tools to enhance some of their programs to create next generation therapies. So I think what we're going to be seeing is faster development right on the cutting edge from, and look, Peter Mac in Australia, they're an amazing name. They do this same CAR-T work for all the other multinationals in who are in the CAR-T field. So they're delighted to work with us because we're an Australian company. I'd imagine they don't have an abundance of those. We're the only ASX listed CAR-T player. So I think it's going to be the thin edge of the wedge, and we're going to be doing a lot more with Peter Mac, I'd imagine. Well, certainly I'd like to.
The thin edge of the wedge, but for any one listening who's been affected by cancer, any type of cancer, or anyone who has beaten cancer, what are you presenting to these people, these millions of people, not only in Australia, as you said, but right around the world? What opportunities are you presenting to them? Obviously, hope is one thing. Is it a realistic hope, if I can put it that way?
Hope is, I wouldn't like to say it's misplaced hope. We conduct solid incremental research that is based on data, and each step you take is based on the previous set of data. And yeah, it's a step into the unknown, and that requires hope, but it's all based on data. This is not hyperbole. We've got real data from UPenn. We've got data from that we've generated on our other programs. It's all pointing in the right direction. Research takes time, but pleasingly it's accelerating. To those people on the call who might be suffering cancer, I think there's every reason to be hopeful. There I'm just thinking even 5 short years ago, the number of cancer therapies available to a patient would be a small proportion of what's available today. I would like to think that in 5 years' time, that would be even more so. I think whereas cancer was a definite death sentence, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and certainly beyond that, I think what with many medications now, people are living with certain cancers like they would a chronic disease and have that managed for a much longer time. But with the advent of things like CAR-T, where we've got the audacity to aim a lot higher in terms of, let's forget about adding weeks or months to someone's life expectancy, to say nothing of their quality of life. If the ultimate weapon against cancer is a T-cell and we can use that, then it gives us the best chance, short of prevention, to overcoming the cancer altogether. So I think we're on the cusp of something very, very special in cancer therapy.
Some breaking news, first here on Small Caps. You were in the process of a $6.5 million capital raising venture. What's the latest on that, Stephen?
Yeah, so that's that was underwritten to $4 million, and we would have been, you know, would have been happy with that. But we've been absolutely overwhelmed as the story of our, you know, our broader pipeline has gotten out there. We've been quite overwhelmed, and it's just we've closed it early. We extended initially by a few days to allow settlement, but we've been so overwhelmed that we've just closed it in the last few minutes, a few days early, and it's quite oversubscribed. So a great position to be in and a really good show of support from our shareholders, which we're, you know, we value immensely and to whom we are eternally grateful.
Yes, a strong balance sheet is obviously important, and obviously that's been reflected by the buy-in by the shareholders, as you put it. So what do you think that reflects in terms of this biomedical, biotech space at the moment? Do you think COVID-19 has certainly fast-tracked the interest by investors and shareholders in this whole realm?
I think it's focused people on, I think in one part, that another in another part, I think people are looking for, I wouldn't say recession-proof sectors, but when you're playing the long game, you're looking for things that sort of withstand various economic cycles, well, surely healthcare in particular against life-threatening diseases is one of those. I mean, it's perfectly elastic. If you were dying of cancer and there was a cancer medicine and it went up by 10% overnight, you're not going to decide not to have it. So the responses I'm getting from people is they want to put their money into an area that is doing some good, and they also realise that it's a little bit resistant to what we're seeing now in terms of the pandemic. But also I think it's been a little bit of a reflection on everyone's mortality now. They realise that their health is very, very important, but hey, there's a whole industry around this, and it's some good investment opportunities present themselves within it.
Stephen, we'll leave it there. We'll end it on a high. Some fantastic news and some groundbreaking news there for PTX. Thanks for joining us on the Small Caps show today, and we look forward with interest on the next development for Prescient Therapeutics Limited.
Thank you very much for having me.